Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Friday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, as always, joined by Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick on today's show. A lot to discuss. Facebook has another key exec departure. We're going to discuss that, the reaction to Tesla's Model Y release, a number of earnings to discuss as well, Adobe, Oracle, JBL, Ulta, Turtle Beach. So we'll talk about those. And our guest today is Fari Hamzy. He would join the show at 8:35. He's the founder of Hamzy Analytics. Weird day today. We have a quad witch on the Ides of March. Maybe it'll be a spooky market. Will it be a spooky market? I don't know. Joel, tell us about it. Oh, almost got there a whole week on mute, without a mute.
Ty, I made the battle.
We almost got a whole week on it.
Is it St. Patrick's Day too?
St. Patty's Day. Oh, you're right. That's coming. Wow. That's going to be on Sunday.
Sunday's coming up, right?
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day. What are you doing for St. Patrick's Day? You getting all decked out in green?
I'll be watching hoops. Hopefully Michigan will win tonight and Saturday and be in the Big Ten Championship. Spencer, sorry about your Terps last night, man. I don't know. Your fears about Mark Turgeon are being realized.
Yes. Stinker all the way through. All right.
All right. Spoos are up nicely here going into the quad, which we're up 13 and a quarter handles off a week close, but we turned around right away. One number only, 26 and a half was your high from Wednesday. That is your current pre-market high. So through there. A little bit of 28.33, but really wide open after that. That's the high of the move. You have crude taking a little breather here. Try to get into the 59 handle, turn back at 58.95, down 30 cents at 58.32. Gold kind of playing above and below 1,300, up $8 at 1,303.10. Silver in the green by 18 cents here at 1535. So a lot of green on the screen here. Some nice upgrades. Quad Witch, Triple D, how you doing?
What about Bitcoin? Did it hit my 4,300 yet for my premonition and my dream?
I don't even know if it trades anymore here.
He's got to bring it up. Where is that coin?
It's just that coin. It's up $47.50. Huh. This is the SIBO futures here. The daily is looking very interesting here. There's just a very tight ranges and bunching up just under 4,000. You got to get over 4,000.
4,300. That was where I had my dream that it went to when it was 37. So my dream's coming true.
I'll
be there naturally here.
If I was a Bitcoin trader, I'd be long, but I'm not
a Bitcoin trader. I'm an equities trader.
Can I tell you something? Yesterday, we had an interview here with Tim Draper. I don't know if you know who that is. He's a pretty well-known investor, VC, tech futurist guy. He believes that by 2022, Bitcoin will be worth $250,000.
He's a Bitcoin bull.
Oh, yeah. Buy now. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I'm still not a Bitcoin bull, so I'm not going to get on the bandwagon. But maybe eventually somebody can turn me into one. So I'm going to keep giving me the thesis here behind it all while we're all going to trade in our U.S. dollars and Canadian dollars for Bitcoins. And maybe I'll jump on board. But as of right now, I have no way to value it other than some of these cryptos, which I value at zero. Bitcoin, I don't think is a zero because I think there is some value to it and some use for it somewhere along the line. But all these other cryptos, I think they're long-term all zeros. That's been my opinion for a long time.
All right, back to the real stuff.
The real stuff is the equities and the stocks are moving. And we had a big report last night from the stock that always gets hit on its earnings report and then always rallies within the next 3 weeks. And that is Oracle. It's been the most consistent trade for the last decade, I feel like. Every time it reports, it falls. Every time you look at it a month later, it gets it all back. So I have this in my long-term portfolio. I guess you just start selling it the day before it reports and then rebuying it when it dips and then turning around and selling it the day before it reports again, because that seems to always be the trade with Oracle. It's not doing anything different here this morning. It's trading down. Spencer Israel, assuming they did something or said something not that great.
Well, actually, the report, from what I was seeing, it was okay. The Q3 EPS, Q3 report EPS 87 cents versus 84 cents. Sales 9.6 billion is in line with the estimate. They also raised their dividend by 5 cents from 19 cents to 24 cents per share. On the conference call, they gave some guidance. They said their Q4 sales would be up 1 to 3%. And their adjusted EPS that they gave on the call as well was higher, mostly. $1.05 to $1.09 is the range they gave. $1.05 was the estimate. So those are all pretty good numbers there.
Stock down $1.83, $51.22. Gets anywhere near $50. I think there's buyers all over the place. And again, I'm just going to say, I think when I look at this in a month from now, it's probably going to be right back up. Unless the market overall market rolls over, the stock just always is the ultimate buy the dip stock.
And your initial dip on the report took place last night. Your initial dip took you to 50.81, and you're just hanging out 40 cents above that. Let's see what we can lean on in the as far as the daily goes. As far as the daily goes, you had a couple lows at the $51 area, so we'll see if that holds up. If not, it gets closer to 50 bucks. Parallels surrounding 50, 50.17 and 49.82. If we turn around into rally mode, you only got to get to 52.85 to reach the lower end or fill the gap from yesterday's range.
Spencer pointed out that Adobe's been doing the same thing, and that's a good segue for us because Adobe did report there last night, and it is down here 10 bucks, and I don't think it's a matter of 3 weeks with Adobe. I think it's probably a matter of 3 days, if not 3 hours. I would not be surprised if this bounces right back. It just, they want to own this stock. It always does get the dip bought as well. And it just seems like everything is by the dip right now. So I'm not selling Adobe down 10 points, despite what they said last night, which was...
It was okay. The quarter was good. Q1 EPS $1.71 versus $1.61 estimate. Sales 2.6 versus $2.55 billion. So they beat on both the Q1 numbers. The Q2 guidance was a little bit light. EPS $1.77 versus $1.88 estimate. The fiscal year EPS guidance was more or less in line. And they're also getting added to the S&P 100 there. But again, that's a good quarter. Guidance might have been a smidge light, but you know there are worse things.
Buyers all over the place around 250 if you get another $8 lower than this. And I think it's just going to be another buy the dip stock. I don't see why stock doesn't come back here in the next few weeks, if not the next few days.
All right. Below.
I've got the buy the dip hat on.
I know.
I know I got some bad hair going on. You guys got to buy me the hat. So I need, because, you know, this hair is getting out of hand here again. I need a hat, a bull hat, a bear hat, and a BTFD hat. That's what I need. Those are the three hats. Those are basically my three positions at all times. Although the BTFD hat I kind of will always wear. I'll like maybe be one of those, you know, can wear one hat and then you wear another hat on top of each other. But anyways, the BTFD, if I could wear a hat right now, it's the BTFD hat.
Okay. I won't disagree with you. Nice move here in the overnight. It was even by the dip off the week close. Not really showing any signs of going up yet. I mean, we are trading at the lows of the pre-market session here in Adobe. Below this area, I'll just give you two levels. We haven't hit 255.77 yet. That's your four-day low. And then Dennis mentioned something closer to the 250 level. That would be your five-day low at 249.10, potential areas of support here in Adobe.
What else you got for me, Spencer, Israel? There's a few other ones last night. Where do you want to go? AVGL? That'd be a good one.
Okay, we can go to Broadcom. That was
That
was yesterday. Q1 EPS of $5.55 versus a $5.23 estimate, so it beat there. Sales of 5.78 versus 5.82 billion dollars. So overall mixed quarter for Broadcom. They gave some guidance as well. The fiscal year sales guidance is a little bit higher, 24.5 billion versus 24.3 billion. And all that comes out to what? I have not looked at the chart yet this morning.
Oh, well. It comes out to a rally.
Yeah, and a big rally at that.
Who did they buy? And the stock went down to $200, went from like 240 to 200. Remember back in the summer, who was it that they bought? They were supposed to buy Qualcomm, and then that never worked out. Or they were bidding for Qualcomm. Remember, they turned around and bought somebody else. Who'd they buy?
CA Technologies for...
CA, the CA purchase. And they murdered this thing. It went from like 240 down to 200. And you know what? BTFD wins again. It always wins. If you wait long enough, it wins. Isn't that the way this market works? If you hold on long enough, it always comes back. I'm relearning stuff that I said that I would never learn, that you just hold and it comes back. But it seems like this is the market. You hold and it comes back.
And it is not quite an all-time high yet, but we'll keep an eye on that today. Two spikes up in the after hours of pre-market trading to 283.98. Nothing there on the dailies except a high at 283.35. And if you're holding out for the all-time high in this one, is 286.63.
Also moving this morning, we've got DOCU, and that is going actually in the opposite direction. So we have another dip here, potential. DocuSign, they reported last night too. What do you got?
Recent IPO, Q4 EPS, 6 cents versus a 1 cent estimate, sales of $199 versus $193 million. So both their Q4 numbers beat. I don't know if they gave guidance. I'm assuming they did. Let me check a different calendar here in the pro.
Just a huge run, though, into earnings. I mean, the stocks went from $40 being in the year to $58. So price for perfection. That's one of those. It's pulling back here. Again, I don't know. I sound like a broken record here, but I think you got buyers in that 54, 55 area. And hard to get bearish of stock when it's down in the hole in this market. Oh, silence comes across the crowd.
I don't know what happened there.
That was weird.
My Skype just went kaplooey.
Well, maybe it was, it's those AI computers in the background muting you now, Joel.
Here we go.
That was a
were talking on the we had this discussion on the pre-market show, and I don't know why it came into discussion. We were just talking about the future of AI, and I was given the long-term bearish thesis on humanity, saying that we're going full Terminator here eventually. What's the chat's thoughts? Are we going full Terminator? Because, I mean, this AI thing is starting to get crazy. I was just I had never heard about this, but my buddy Chris, when I was talking to him last weekend, he was telling me about these two Facebook computers, and I just Googled it actually, and it's from 2 years ago, so it's not very timely. We should have talked about this 2 years ago, but I didn't know about it 2 years ago. He was telling me how they were like playing some game, and they had them just chatting or whatever, and they had them communicating with each other, and these two Facebook computers just started talking. All of a sudden, they started doing changes to the English language, and they started communicating in their own language to each other. And they were trying to figure it out. They're like, what are they doing? It's a bunch of, you know, bleeps and whatever. And they're talking to each other in their own language, and they're like, we better shut this down. Anyway, so we had that discussion on the pre-market show. I don't know why it came into discussion. I was like, you know what? We're going full Terminator here. So long-term humanity, I'm buying the puts. If the computers all start talking to each other, and I was even saying how I think we're going to get zapped by all the computers. It'll probably kill us through our cell phones or something at the end of it all. But anyway, it's not to, you know, on the
I'm not sure what this has to do with DocuSign.
Not to get all like.
Yeah, you know, boy, maybe I should have stayed off. Hey, Spencer.
Quickly changes the subject.
I knew this was coming. I just, maybe that's why I accidentally signed out. No, Spencer, Fari's a little jammed. We're going to do him at 8:35, okay. Right? Yep. Instead of 8:15.
These computers got a mind of their own right now. This is AI Friday. Now you got Skype calling you, Joel.
The AI
computer wants to talk.
All right, we're doing Fari in 20 minutes. Let's get back to this DocuSign thing.
Okay, yeah. This show's
just gone off the rails. It's completely off the rails. We're leaving DocuSign. I'm too bored with that one.
Quiet. Be quiet for a second. Let me look at DocuSign here. We got people interested. They bought the dip already. We went down to 51.72 and we rebounded. So, all right, buy the dip. That's all we're saying.
Buy the dip AI Friday. That's what it is. Buy the dip.
You wanted to go to Ulta? Is that what you wanted to do?
Yeah, let's get a stock that's not dipping, because all these other ones look the same. They all, you know, they're gonna probably come and buy the dip on all those things. So what do they do on the case of Alta? I want to throw this one to Alcona, because this is a brand all-time high for Alta.
All right. Well, the numbers from yesterday, Q4 EPS, $3.61 versus $3.55. Sales 2.12 versus $2.11 billion. So slight beats on both the Q4 numbers. Their comps are up 9.4%. That's a very nice number there. As far as guidance that they gave for the fiscal year, that is coming in line for the EPS. And what else did they say? $875 million buyback.
Wow, everything going Alta's way. Someone got real excited. It took it up to 334.80. We backed off there, and a lot of stock traded on that bracket too. So a couple hundred thousand shares. A little bit of dip, and now you're just coming right back up here, currently trading 329. Basis the 15-minute chart, I'll call support 322. The former all-time high in this one is, blowing it away, 318.7. No, excuse me, I stand corrected. Former all-time high, 322.49, so that kind of coincides with the support in the issue based the 15-minute chart.
I don't like being short stocks making new all-time highs, so I'm not selling the rip on this one.
Nope.
So I'll stay away from the short side anyways. And it's hard to chase stuff. It's up 17 points. You know, anything can happen. It's all air and stuff below. So this one is a sit-on-hands trade for me. Really, from the earnings perspective, there was Zooms. There was Jabil Circuit, actually. Jabil Circuit was interesting. Anything else you're really jumping out at, Ian?
Let's do here.
I have this on my list.
Yeah, I can never.
But this wasn't earnings. This was an acquisition.
No. What?
Yeah, no. They acquired something. Wasn't it? They might add earnings too, but there was a big. They did a deal yesterday.
Did they? Oh yeah, you're right. $14.8 billion deal. Look at that. Okay, so this is a company that I can never see. I always seem to confuse it with a bar in New York. There's a bar in New York called Turtle Bay. This company is called Turtle Beach. I can never get them straight.
It's the headphones. The gaming headphones.
It's the headphones.
Right?
It's the headphones. So Turtle Beach.
I need
Beach,
to get a set of these because these ones are crappy.
Turtle Beach, in addition to acquiring a company called Rocket for $14.8 million yesterday, they reported earnings of $1.33 versus $1.31 estimate. Sales $111 versus $100.
They made $1.33.
Yes.
Holy cow, this is like the value of value stocks here. $1.33 in the quarter.
Yes. Sales 111 versus $110 million. Their guidance though was light. The Q1 EPS guidance that they gave was 5 cents versus a 9 cent estimate. Sales guidance, that was okay. $42 million versus $34 million.
Must have been like a special, like then, like that's 5 cents versus 9 cents. $1.33. It's a big difference there. It must have been like.
Well, yeah, that Q1 guidance, that number was adjusted. So it's an adjusted EPS versus, I guess, a GAAP EPS figure. The sales guidance that they gave, it was okay. Let me see here. Anymore? There's a few headlines, but no, mostly related to accounting. And the acquisition, you're right, was a big deal. And they beat the earnings and they have lower guidance.
I don't know what to say about this one. It's down now 11%. I don't know if this is one of those buys. I mean, this stock is not in an uptrend. I always like buying the dips on stocks and uptrends, and it's definitely not an uptrend. It was in a consolidation period, which I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was consolidating to go higher, but obviously getting an earnings report, some, you know, can go either way, and those are always a coin flip, and this coin is actually going down. I don't know. You kind of did buy the dip, right? Because it got into the 13 handle here too. So where's the low? Yeah. How low did we get?
Got to 1320, but they scooped that up right away. 1320. You're currently trading a buck above that. So I think if you
1320, all kinds of support down there.
Yeah. So there, but I don't think you're gonna get there. I think instead here, you get your first look at the lower 14 handle, where you're not too far away. I like to see what happens at 14 even. 1407 was your low on January 21st, but the way they scooped it up off that 1320 low, I think to go back down to that low, it's just gonna, you'll be fighting through bids. If you want a little bit of resistance, a little bit of pre-market resistance that comes in at 1475. So there's a potential trading range in Turtle.
Ah, Hal, I'll throw the buy the dip hat on this one too. Gets into the 13s. I like it. So my opinion, obviously, but I think I'd be a buyer in the 13s too. Why not? Why not buy the dip on Turtle Beach headphones too?
Are you taking the cell key off your computer?
I should just take the cell key off my computer.
I mean, why does anybody?
I've been bullish here for a while now.
You have been.
I know, and obviously my long-term portfolio is still underinvested, so you know I'm dumb for that. I should have been buying that last dip when we got down there 5 days ago, but I don't see any reason this market's not going to make new all-time highs within the next few months, even. So I think what's that? SPY? What's all-time high? I know you want to talk spooz, but
we'll talk spider.
294. So we're 12 points off, 120 spoo handles. We get there. I'll propose a bet to you. We get there by, what is it, March 14th. We get there by the first day of summer. New all-time highs.
Do you think it's going to...
Because it could go down, and I didn't even put it like it's like me buying a call option here with only 3 month expiration. You're selling it to me. That's actually a good...
You think it's going to take that long?
No, I want to give myself some time, though. Joel's on the same side here. He's got the buy the dip hat on, too. If we're all getting this bullish, maybe it is the top. Maybe we're all getting too bullish.
Yeah,
as long as they all stay bears on CNBC, we're okay with the bull call.
Yeah, they've been pretty consistent on that. But, you know, we're at an expiration, right? And you see with expirations, the December expiration was a turning point, right? You had to sit it out for a couple days, but definitely marked a low in the market. So here we are 3 months later, the end of an expiration, fulfilling things to the upside. I'll just keep an eye on the closes. Your high close in the move so far is 28.1950, and we are poised to improve that today. So that's what we'll be. Where we close today is what we'll be looking forward to next week to see if we just continue up into the upper 2800 handle. And then the spoos, it's a rolling contract. So it's a little bit different with the all-time high. But basis the rolling front month contract, all-time high comes in at 29.56. But Dennis, I won't take you. I'll take you up on that just for a lunch. I'm not going to steak dinner here just because we don't have.
All right, first day of summer. It's a lunch bet. I'm thinking all-time highs on the S&Ps by the, what is it, June 21st? That's the first day of summer?
Yeah, we'll go with 221st. So right. It would be the closing.
Somebody remember that because I always forget.
I'm writing it down.
And Joel never forgets. Joel only forgets if I win. If he wins, he never forgets. So jump over to these ratings
quickly.
There's one that I really want to talk about. I wanted to cover it early here is Amazon. And this is catching an upgrade this morning at KeyBank. They're putting a $2,100 target on this. This has been looking like it wants to break out. It's going to open at the top of the range here today. I think this got the potential to really go here. It's been wanting to go, and now it gets a catalyst. Let's see what it does. If they come in here and start looking like they're going to buy it here after 9:30, this got the potential for this thing to go up like 50 points today. And obviously the market's going to matter on this as well, but this has wanted a catalyst for a while. Now you get a big analyst coming out, upgrading it to buy, putting a $2,100 price target on it. I think it could kickstart it through that resistance. But resistance is resistance until it's broken. There's a lot of highs to get through, 1715, 1716, 1709, 1708. So it's going to open to that resistance. Let's see if we can take it out.
Right. And I'll just mention the pair of highs that we had where we traded 1704.5. Let's call it 1710. You had a 1709.43 high. That was on March 4th. And, you know, and I mentioned this on the pre-market show. I mean, Apple was just kind of hanging out, right? And Bank of America came out. That was this week, right? That they came out with that initiation.
Is a great example. And it was, or maybe it was the end of last week, but no, it gapped week. Up, it obviously.
Monday,
and,
I think. Right, Spencer?
Yeah. You can't.
The gap ago.
You can't upgrade a stock that every analyst already has buys on, right, or overweights on, which is the case for Amazon, too. every analyst pretty much is overweight, outperformed by on Amazon.
They found one though. We found one that wasn't.
In the pro, the last upgrade to Amazon is in 2017. I mean, sort of give the
that. I'm actually shocked that it's only up 1% here right now, up 18 points on this. Because maybe it's because it's thick. It is thick, and obviously $1,700 stock. But I think it's going to get kickstarted on this. So no, just a call, just my feelings. But I think we're going to be up more than 18 here today.
It just tells you that the analysts have been they've been right, and we found the one that didn't have a buy rating on, did not have an overweight on rating on, and we know that they can drive sentiment and they can drive price. So. We'll see what happens.
Feels like Apple all over again. Joel's right. This feels like the Apple trade. And the Apple was the gap and go. So we've seen since the Bank of America came out, which would have came out when the stock was what? 172.91. They upgraded it, gapped up that day up to like 175. And now it's up at 185. It's out on another 10 points in 4 days. So 10 points on $180 stock is up another 6%. I don't see why Amazon can't do the same thing. If it can gap up and get over that 1710, this could be like 1750, 1800 next week. So as long as the market holds up here, we don't get any crazy news on some, you know, trade deal not happening or anything else. I mean, if the overall, you know, no macro event happens here, I think Amazon's been wanting to go, and I think there's a catalyst to kickstart it.
Just a little words of caution here from Brent Hobbs in the Google chat. He says, historically, the week after Quad Witch is red. He said like 75%.
Stats like this. Nice. Because we were actually asked for this on the show yesterday. So our chats listened to us. So we were wondering if it was in. And that's a big thing to remember here is that this is a big option expiration here today. So thanks for reminding me. Obviously, we're going to get some imbalances. We know the 830 imbalances are going to be sometimes at 830, but then they flip flop. They're going to be big. They're going to be either way. They're going to push the stocks around. You're going to have a wild open and probably a very wild close. So. But good words of warning there. I did not know that 75% of the time that after Quad Witch, the market's down. So, and we do know on these big option expirations, sometimes those are turning points. So if you want to get bearish, you want to find a reason to get bearish. We've been straight up here for 2 months. Maybe this will be the turning point. Remember the big biotech turn when biotechs were straight up? This was in March of what, 2015 or 2016? Do you remember? That was the blow off top on that third Friday in March. That was the ultimate high. And I don't know if they ever really got back there. The IBB, I don't think, ever got back to those highs. Yeah. You can see where I'm looking. Yeah, 2015. It was the March. Was it the March one? Or was it July? Or June? I'm trying to look. It looks like
I could tell you when because...
it was Biogen. Remember Biogen?
Yeah. I was just going to say Biogen.
450. That's March. It was the March one, I believe.
Did it go to 450 or did it go to 500?
Almost 500. $480.18. And it's never come back. But that was, you know, ridiculous. The biotechs were up so much that year. I mean, we had run on Biogen from 300 to 480 in a matter of 3 months. And this was, you know, obviously a stock that had already run. So that was just upside capitulation at its best. But anyways, we digress once again. But just saying, you know, I guess, you know, you just got to be cautious here. But I don't think we've run up that much that we're going to have like this upside capitulation because we're not even at all-time highs here. So I think we got work to do on the upside still here in this market. And I think the buy the dippers lurk in everything.
I want to know, Dennis, if you're going to buy the dip on Facebook here. I really do because...
I already own it. So I don't know. I may buy more. I actually sold the rip when it had the big gap up in the earnings. I guess I should have rebought it. Getting a chance here. It's actually lower, I believe, than I sold it now. So I could rebuy it. Oh, 160 maybe. If they bring those two AI computers back, maybe I'll buy it. Well, the ones that created their own language.
Well, the news here this morning is that the chief product officer, Chris Cox, is leaving the company. He was one of their first 15 engineers. He worked on dozens. He owned the app. He owned the news.
You know why?
Do we know why he's leaving?
Yeah, why he's leaving?
I have not seen why he's leaving.
Anybody knows why? It's always a good, you know, thing to know.
In addition to him leaving, so is WhatsApp Vice President Chris Daniels. So that's like the third. That's like the third major departure from WhatsApp alone, and Facebook as a whole has had others, obviously, but. The Chris Cox leaving, this is a big, I mean, the market's pricing it in as a big deal.
Market's pricing in a lot of big buy imbalances here right now, too. They are all buys. They are all heavy to the buy side. Again, it is early. Again, we will see these things probably flip around a little bit. But as of right now, as the 830 imbalances go, this market is looking extremely higher.
Like who?
Oh, it's just ridiculous. So Citigroup, 513,000 to buy, JP Morgan, every single stock. 655,000 to buy, JP Morgan, Bank of America, 1.7 million to buy. They're both 10 times bigger than they normally are, and they're all to the buy side. Now, this can change, though. We do see these things flip-flop. We do know there's a lot of institutional participation on this third Friday of the month, especially on the quad expiration like we were just talking about there. So these can change. But as of right now, there's buy and balance across the board, and they are huge. That's what we're talking for the open. So that puts upward pressures on the S&Ps.
The dip was kind of already bought here in Facebook. Made an initial surge. I was watching this trade. I saw it going down. I'm like, oh, there must be news. And then CNBC came out. Went down to 166.54. But that was about it. You revisited that at 4 a.m. this morning. And then you just kind of had a steady rise up here. So let's look for the bottom of yesterday's range, 168.16. So we're already in yesterday's range. I'm sure some people would like to see that close at 170.17. And the only thing we noted about this one earlier in the week, it got an upgrade, not from as influential firm as Bank of America, but it did get an upgrade earlier in the week, but just couldn't clear kind of the top of the trading range here. Now getting knocked back down off it. We'll see what happens today, but your major resistance, 174 in Facebook, and somehow it goes into a big rally mode.
Jump over back to ratings. So we talked Amazon. There's another big one this morning, and that's Zillow. You can go a Zebra G, or you can go just Zebra. You pick your poison. Both are poisonous here today, getting downgraded to Barclays to underweight, which they're equivalent of sell. That stock is trading down 3.5% here in the pre-market, so it's not a good open here. For Zillow, this is another stock that's kind of gone really nowhere comparatively to the overall market. I mean, this is overall downtrend. This was a $65 stock back in the summer of 2018. It's now a $35 stock, and a lot of stocks are back up near the highs. This is one that is not. So this is, you know, one of those stocks that I probably do not buy the dip on, for the simple reason is that it's not in an uptrend.
And what do you guys like, Z or ZG? Which one has more volume?
Well, Z if I'm being lazy, because I don't have to type in the extra symbol. So
okay. Let's go with
Z.
All right.
Or Z, as we say in Canada.
Z.
We say it the correct way.
36.
Although it doesn't rhyme. So I'm always torn here, because when I sing the ABCs with my kid, and you go A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z just kind of flows better. And you say Z at the end, it's kind of like, and even Spencer's torn. Like sometimes he says Z, and then sometimes he says Z. So your A, B, C's, X, Y, Z's. I mean, Z just kind of goes better. But anyways, I do like the American way on it for that reason, for the rhyming purposes. Z is the Canadian way.
How do you live with yourself with these kinds of problems?
I know. I just can't determine whether I want to say Z or Z. I'm so, because it doesn't rhyme. It doesn't even sound nice when you say Z at the end. It doesn't sound like it belongs.
How do you sleep at night, Dennis? With these?
I don't sleep at night, Spencer. My girl last night got up at 1 a.m. and decided she's going to be awake for the night. And I was finally going to go up to the couch just because my wife brings her in the room, and then we put her back in the crib, and you can just hear her. And we let her cry it out, and she's like screaming, like 1:30. She's like, I'm not going back to sleep. And I'm like, it's 1:30 in the morning. You're going back to sleep. You know, my wife, same thing. We got to let her just cry it out. She cried for like 10 minutes straight. It just breaks your heart. But eventually she did lay down and go to sleep. But it's the worst thing. And then you're like kind of awake because, you've got up, she's been crying, you can hear her crying, and then you're trying not to think. And then I start thinking about stuff, and you start thinking about sports, you start thinking about this, and then you realize another hour has passed here, and then you're like, well, your kid's probably going to wake up here again. So basically, I just don't sleep at night. That's the bottom line.
Sometimes you got to toughen out, man. You just got to.
That's why I got glaucoma now, because they don't sleep.
Okay. All right.
Zillow. Let's finish that.
Is this a stock show?
Zed's dead, baby. Zed is dead.
Just finish.
You know what we need to do? We need to take
Zed is dead.
We need to take over Howard Stern's spot. I mean, because we just covered so many different stuff. I'll just say there's a gap filled down here to 35.47. So that was from earnings. So you fall another buck. Folks that are looking for the gap fill, 35.47, I'll call that as potential support. In Z, is leather Z divided on ZG as well.
A35. So
I think ZZ Top. Imagine they call them ZZ Top.
I'm calling Fari.
I'm going to get thrown out of Canada for saying this stuff.
Listen,
I like Z better than Z.
Okay, I'm calling Fari. Fari Hamzy. Hamzy Analytics. He's supposed to join.
What a day to have Fari on, huh? Know,
America.
Okay, Fari. We got you. We've had a weird show so far this morning. Good morning.
Sorry about the mishap. We just had emails versus the Skype thing, two different numbers, but we're good.
Okay, how's it going this morning, Fari?
I'm good. All is well. It's a little cloudy. Temps are about 71 degrees. Range 83 to 71. We're chilly. We're chilly here.
We're chilly. You gotta get your sweater out, Fari. is going on? We're having a buy the dip Friday show here. It's basically just seems like, and we were talking about Oracle, but it seems like it's the ultimate buy the dip. Every time, it seems like every earnings report, Oracle misses and goes down like $3. And then when you look at it a month later, it gets it all back. I mean, I've got my buy the dip hat on just because it just continues to work here. Do you have your buy the dip hat down there in sunny Naples?
No, I'll never do that. I'm not that smart.
Buy the dip?
No, seriously. I mean, each case is different. You know it better.
Yeah.
So you got to take a look at it and see what's going on. Obviously, statistics and probabilities are key factor in any mature or experienced trader decision, but should not be the only thing. So because market has a way of surprising you, it has to. If the market teaches you a pattern and keeps on doing that, we'll all be billionaires, right?
Well, not if we don't
have a
pattern. What if we're contrarians and we're waiting for the patterns to break?
that's itself as a pattern. Think about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Being a contrarian itself is a pattern. It's a pattern of thinking. So I think the market is there to legally and politely steal your money. It's a thieves market. Usually works on that. So they pump it up, they dump it, goes back and forth. I've been caught in there myself. I'm sure most of you guys have been there too. It's case by case, so we'll see. I'm looking at Oracle right now. I can share my screen if you like.
Yeah, do it. Share.
Okay, let's do
Please
it.
Please share.
All right, so how do I do that?
Sharing is caring.
That's right. is it this one that shares? No, hold on. That's the message.
We're having all sorts of futuristic computer problems this morning, I think.
Dennis, it's AI right? Friday.
It's AI Friday.
I use
Skynet.
I use a Skype for business. Oh, share a screen. There you go. And share a screen.
Well, while you get that figured out, I think I just saw a flash. No, it didn't. While you get that figured out, Fari, do you pay any attention to the fact that today is a quarter witch? Does that impact your strategies at all today?
We're up to the open. No, somebody, this doesn't come out. I don't know why. Hold on. Let me try it one more time. Share screen. It should give me my displays.
Yeah.
Display five, display six.
I see you, Fari, though. And you're looking.
That's a video. That's different. Share computer sound. No. It doesn't come on.
There you go.
Right,
I see it.
We got it.
You see my charts?
We got it, Fari.
Okay. So, all right, guys.
Boom.
So we're looking
at. Oh, quad witching. Yeah. Listen, quad witching is two times critical today. One is pre-open for the European expiration, and then near the close for the American expiration. You know, the SPX versus SPY. We really trade futures, so we're looking at ebb and flows near these two events because the volumes pick up. You know, the big traders get involved. To a bigger extent, pre-open, you know, around, let's say, 9:15 Eastern to about 10 o'clock. And then to a lesser extent, near the close. Why? Because then market makers come in a big way and they pin the big names. Big names being Amazon, Microsoft, you know, the Netflix and so forth. Why? Look at their open interest. You can get clues from the open interest where they're heading to. For example, last night we had a webinar and we talked about SPX. Okay, now it's way up now. Potentially trying to go to 2808. I'm sorry, it was at 2808 close. Potentially SPX, not ES. Going to 2800. Why? That was a big open interest. Obviously, news has impacted that tremendously. Yes, notwithstanding the news, that's usually the prediction out. So some market makers are going to have their head handed to them to a lesser extent. There's going to be some impact, but less. So today is probably not a good one for market makers. I will still watch it. They moved the ES and NQ. I'm saying they moved their ES and NQ as much as they can up to the open. And after that is the SPX 500 names to open. You're going to see some that are not going to open early. Why? That's why they moved their settlement value. Once the settlement is done, you're back to normal trading until you get closer to SPY expiration, which is in the afternoon. That's how I look at it for the quads.
All right. So tell us what we're looking at, though, here on these charts specifically.
Oh. I'm looking at companies of market timing charts. We had a huge webinar last night on that. This is on the screen. I'm just bringing it up quickly. This is the SPX. I'm sorry. This is a VX spread. Basically, you take 3 months, the lead contract, which is still is, as of today, still H contract on the VX. That's the VIX futures. It's trading at 1355. What we're trying to look at is there a spread? Is there a spread that positive or negative between 3 months forward? It's an H long and M short. That's what we put in here. So if you go to the symbols, you'll see that's what we're plotting. H long and M short, that's the plot. And then we put on it, it's a 30-minute chart against the futures, and we plot the sigma channels on that. Why? That gives us a chance to see what the vibration is.
So just for the newer listeners there, because we've talked with you for years here, but for the newer listeners, they might not be familiar with sigma channels. Can you just explain that?
Sigma channels is my way of calling expanded, detailed, and more rule-based Bollinger Bands. Okay. John Bollinger, a good friend. We spent a lot of time in L.A. together. I ran the user group he started, and he likes Persian food and whiskey. Great combination for me. So we would go to by the beach and sit down and talk about different things. I'd read his
talk
books.
Sigma channels.
Pardon me?
You go down by the beach, drink whiskey, and talk Sigma channels.
Yeah, well, Bollinger Bands. Then I said, John, I want to know more. He goes, well, read my books. I bought the books. He signed them. I read them. And then as I'm playing with it one night, let me blow this up a little bit for you guys. I misinputted. See, he talks about this level, okay, which is plus two. This is zero, and this is minus two. These are standard deviations from the mean. Mean is usually 20 bars, 20 look back period, or whatever the asset is. Okay. Now, what we did was that one night by mistake, it was late at night. I had to get up early. Remember, 3 hours difference. I put a wrong input in there and the sigma channels. And I left the machine on. It wasn't working. I was upset. Boom. Forget it. Went upstairs, went to bed. I lived by the beach and life was simple. Come in the morning with a coffee in hand, I said, what the F did you did here? This doesn't make sense. I went in there and I looked at the input. It turns out I put the wrong input in. I turned on negative one. Okay. So I said, huh. So let me open up negative three. Let me program it to show negative three. Plus three, negative, plus negative three, plus one, negative one. And then later on, we even added four. Why? Because for VIX, four is crucial. I'll give you an example. The four sigma. You don't see the indices. You don't see the names that often. But on volatility, you do, because that shows you the bottom. Anyhow, long story short, sigma channels were born. I didn't want to interfere with what he had done. I had to write the rules myself. I told him, I said, this is what I'm going to do. He goes, why sigma? I said, standard deviation. And it's an Ottoman Empire. It goes back 400 years. You know, you're French, and you can only go back a couple hundred years. This thing goes 400 years. It's not interfering with you. We call it bands because our rules are based on what happens inside the two of them. It's not a, channels. We call them channels, not bands, because it's what happens inside of them. And what we look for is, how do we use it? If we're going down, we're going to be between negative one and negative two, okay? If we're going up, we'll be plus one, plus two. And that seemed to work. Now, what does this mean first? What is the meaning of this is, and then I'll go to a regular mix, because this is a spread. When this gets around -3, we're near the top, and we're heading that way. When it comes to 0, we're at the bottom. And that's what happened last Friday. Okay? If you bring this in for a second, quickly, there you can see that, okay? When we get near 0, you're near the bottom, okay? Now, this has been, if you go to my website, there's a SIBO Master Sessions. I was one of the first faculties there. And I have a blog page there. I haven't had a chance to update recently. But that there's an article here, the last one on the bottom, because they this is a repackaged one. They redid their blog page. The last one that you see there, July 23rd, 2015, talks about that chart. It analyzes it, gives you example, things to do, not to do. According to them, is the most read post by one post by anybody, which is, I got surprised, it's nothing that crazy, but obviously the implications are crucial. So we keep on looking at this for getting clues. It's part of our toolbox for market timing, the PMT package, and we feature every Sunday. Now, let's go to regular VIX to show you what I was talking about four Sigma. You see that? When we get to these levels, you see the tops coming. Here's a four sigma right there. Now remember, this is VIX, so it's a positive four. As it goes up to four, the market is dropping.
So wait, yeah. So explain what that means though, explain what that means.
Spencer's gonna cost you some money. You got some shekels on you? It's Friday, I need some shekels. Oh, hold man. Up, here's the thing. It's the sigma channel, look at the band. Okay, the center line is yellow, right? That center line. So we got to count the band. 1, 2, 3. The dash is 4. Look what the peak was on the VIX. Intraday peak on VIX was 4 sigma. Repeats itself. Talk about patterns. So this gives us a clue where things are. Now, I boo-booed the following day because the move was too huge and become stubborn. I still think I'm short, by the way, for the record. I'm short the market with Time to Digest. I still believe that we've got an event coming. What I don't know is what's the catalyst. So I wouldn't go too crazy here on the upside.
You're not chasing this market.
No. Oh, no, I chased it here, down, chased it up here, and here's the proof of it. The proof is in the pudding. Let's go to images and bingo. This is the proof. I chased it at the right time.
All right.
You got the proof. Yeah, you got to chase at the right time. And now I'm currently ranked 661. The issue just came out. I was 111 in every category. But it just, if you look at it like that, and this could be a double top, we don't know. I suspect the China trade is an issue. If that works, we go up. If it does, well, we go up slightly, somewhat, because I think people are pricing it in that it is working or it's going to work. But if it doesn't work, they can spin it, then I think I'm looking for somewhere in 2600 range as a first stop. But 200 points drop on S&P, not huge. We're not coming down here. This was a different phenomenon. This was a lack of it wasn't trading fundamental. We've talked about this before. It wasn't trading fundamental. It wasn't trading technical. I think it was a confidence issue. Plus, you had tax selling. And volume was low because of vacation time. So this became a very directional move. You had to go down with it. I look at the McLennan oscillator. It hit, I think, -312. That's a launch pad, and you buy the launch pad. All right. So no, I've done the chasing. I'm going to take it easy and let the market tell me what to do.
Fari Hamzy is the founder of Hamzy Analytics. Fari, as always, thanks for joining us. And
I don't get a question from Joel. What's going on here? I even put a clone on.
I don't know. Joel, ask a question.
No, you guys had it going. No, I just, I always like to ask you about the oil market, that you follow the oil market here pretty closely. You made some good calls. I remember when it was, we had you on the show back when we bought them in 2016. It's just been kind of quiet as of late. I was just wondering if you could give me a take on the oil market.
I'm fairly neutral on it. I should say Captain Tico is neutral on it. As you know, most of our calls have come from him. I think we're in a balance mode.
Okay.
In the sense that they're both demand and supply, and politics notwithstanding, we haven't gone anywhere fast. So we'll wait until they get the market gives us a signal there.
Okay, thank you. We'll wait. We'll get a signal from you next time you're on. I think the 50% retracement up at $60 is kind of where we're heading on this jaunt, but we'll keep an eye on it.
Have a good
night, Remor. Thank you, sir.
Have a good one, Fari.
We'll see you. Thank you, guys.
All right. 8:50 now. 8:50. Joel, where are we at here in the market? Anything
interesting? The balance is flipped, yeah. I assume. Big time, huh, Dennis?
Big time. Yeah, they were all a huge buy. They just were all a huge sell. And you can see the S&Ps actually fell about four handles when that happened. And, I mean, this is proof that sometimes the equities can control where the S&Ps are. And if you'd be watching my screen, it just flipped all, and the S&Ps just went bloop. And if they flip all the buys, the S&Ps go bloop again. The S&Ps get chopped right up. If you're just a pure S&P trader and you don't watch the equities and you're trading them this morning and you are scratching your head saying, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Balances were all big buy. They just flipped all big sell. We know that they control each other. It isn't always the futures that control and lead. It flips back and forth. Sometimes the equities lead. Sometimes the futures lead. On third Fridays of the month, the information is coming from the floor. We know the 500 stocks have to add up to the index, obviously, and when they're all buy and balance, they all flip to sell, they are going to hit the S&P futures on that, and that's exactly what they did. They started hitting the stocks. Again, this could go flip right back to buy, so, you know, I just kind of sit back, and you don't want to get chopped up because we don't know where they're going to end up. There's going to be huge institutional action coming in. More orders are going to be coming in for the open as they jockey their open option positions against the equities, and you're going to see market makers pushing their orders around and pushing the stocks around. So all I can promise you is volatility at the open. Direction, we still don't know. But right now, if the market was to open, it actually opened down. So we'll see what happens if they flip again.
All right, Tara. 28, 21.5 up, 9.25. Mid-range on a session happens to coincide with the high close of the move at 28, 19.50. So mid-range on the session, pre-market low down at 28, 12.25. I mean, those balances can flip again too, right, Dennis?
Yeah, they can just keep flipping around. They can do whatever they want. It's a moving target.
Yeah.
So as more orders come in, those imbalances change. And it's big orders coming in on the third Friday, because why is that? There's so many institutions that are moving their orders around, and especially at the close. We always see huge orders at the close too. Because if you've got, and you know, I've said this before, you got open option positions, the market makers typically will be trading the equities, the stocks against those options. They're not typically just trading the options in and out. They're making markets in the options using the stocks to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because there obviously is no margin issues and nothing. I used to do the same thing. The stocks, obviously, if you've got an open option position, that's the whole pinning aspect of it. When you've got an open 55 call, you'll be making a market. And if you can, you know, sell the stock 55.10 and you can exercise that, or, you know, you're good to go. So you can sell that short against your 55 call and be hedged. Pulls back down to 54.90. You can rebuy 54.90, cover your short. And it just goes back and forth. And that's the pin action we talk about. That's on the close. But at the open, they're jockeying stuff here too. You know, a lot of traders are working the stuff at the open too. So lots of funny things happen on these expirations because obviously there's more variables in play.
Okay. All right. Did we cover all the earnings, Spencer? Did we get through all the ratings here? We have about 7 minutes left. We can also look for some.
Did do AT&T.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Right, upgraded. Upgrade. We found an upgrade.
AT&T upgraded this morning to outperform from Ray J.
What'd they target on this?
Oh, let me check real quickly. Let me see here.
AT&T. I mean, it's a stock. It trades like a bond. We know the 6.67% dividend. I don't own it because I just think the long term, I've said this before, I don't like the long term prospects of AT&T. And I agree with Kramer in this case. I believe they do have a debt problem there too. So long term, I just am not a fan, even though I've had it in my long term portfolio for the better part of a decade. I sold it last year just because I don't like this debt issue. They've been buying stuff and growing the debt, and bad acquisitions there too, like the DirecTV. I just think there's better, safer places for my money. That safer, like if you really want a 6.67% dividend, you can go into a lot of preferred stocks. And I've given some examples before that I think are safer than AT&T. And I'm not saying AT&T is going under or anything like that. I just think it can. I think it can go down. I think the price can go down here.
The price target, I believe, is $34 here.
Yeah. Okay. It's a dividend play. I mean, everybody's in this. If you're in this, you're in it for the dividend. You're in this for capital appreciation. And there's lots of preferred stocks that give 5.5%, 6% out there, even 6.5% out there. I think those are safer spots in AT&T.
Okay, we are trading above the high from yesterday, but if you're looking for two other potential targets, your two-day high comes in at 30.72, and then earlier in the week, we sprinted to 30.90, and man, there could be all kinds of sizes, 31, just a nice round number there. So there's some potential resistance in AT&T off the Raymond James upgrade.
We didn't talk Tesla yet today.
Or GE.
I'm curious if you guys are going to set aside, let's see, set aside anywhere from $39,000 to $60,000 for your Model Y in 2020.
So what all did they say? They introduced this new car. What else? Anything like, what was the price tag? 45 grand or something?
$39,000 to $60,000, depending on, you know, your configuration and your trim and all that stuff.
Seems like every time they announce a new car, the stock goes down. I gotta start selling this before it goes. And obviously, I own some shares of Tesla, which I said I took a half position on it a couple weeks ago. I guess I should have sold a little run up there because it's already come back down to where I bought it. I'm right in here at this price. I'm leaning on that 270. So that's all I'm doing is leaning on for a trade. If it takes a 270, I'll probably sell it.
To the extent that you can believe anything Elon Musk says, he said yesterday that we will probably do more Model Ys than S, X, and 3s combined. It is a crossover. Demand for crossovers are high, and you can see that across the other automakers. So it's not the craziest thing to say, but it won't be available for 2 years. 1 year, sorry.
Down $7. Talk technical on this. This thing is headline all over. It's just headline driven. Every night there's a headline driving this up $10 or driving it down $10. It's a hard stock to stomach, which is why I said I don't like doing swing trades and in long-term investing. I day trade this thing, but it's a hard one to swing trade and long-term invest because there's just so many damn headlines in it.
Yeah, let's see here. I'll just give you, they took it down to 279 even, and you have some daily lows at 280.50, 281. So you did get a little bit of a bounce. I'd lean on that pre-market low. I don't really think they're going to take this out to the woodshed on this one. The recent low of the move was at 270.10, but it just seems to bounce back from these events. I think you're still, you're not trading in yesterday's range. So if you're looking for a pop, you're looking for some potential resistance, in order to reach the bottom of yesterday's range, 288.29 could be your resistance today. If you're looking for more downside action, trio of lows, I'll call it 275. I'm sure a lot of shorts would like to see it under the March 8th low and just above the March 6th and 7th lows.
All right. Just going back here to ratings, there was a couple that we missed, and I just want to cover them. Schlumberger gets a downgrade. I can't read my handwriting.
That's okay.
Jefferies?
Yep, Jefferies to hold.
Holy cow. I should show. This is, I don't know if you can see it there, but how that is Jefferies. This is my scribble sheet. Can you see my scribble sheet?
Can't see it with the light. Hold on a second. Yeah, wait. Keep it up there. Okay. Yeah.
No. I got my little finger bar.
Not really. I mean, it's hard to see. But
I have the worst chicken scratching ever. How I even make heads or tails out of this? But this is my method to my madness. I have one of these sheets every night, and I write all the earnings stocks reported last night here. All the earnings stocks that are going to report typically go here, but there's no one they're going to report tonight. The pre-market ones are here. Anything that Cramer says, I put down here in the corner because Cramer can move stocks. I have stocks going ex-dividend over here. And then I have all the news just kind of in here, the stocks that I want to trade or stocks I want to talk about on the show. So if I'm looking at it today, we covered most of the stuff. The only thing I still have written on here is buy Dell. And I meant that in the long-term portfolio, and I did not buy yesterday. It just ripped higher. So obviously I didn't get a chance yesterday, but I'm hoping for a dip in Dell to buy because I'm ready with my BTFD hat in Dell.
I think someone in the chat mentioned that that they got a hold of a little bit of Dell yesterday on your call. They wanted to thank me. Thank you. Not sure who it was, but
I had Dell that I had for a day trade and I sold it. And obviously I wish I would have had it in the longer term portfolio there. Cause I talked it. I know yesterday is like, I'm liking it. It rallied $2 yesterday. Big move for it. I don't know if you're going to get it. It's not going to dip this morning. It's up another 72 cents. So anyways, I'm hoping we get another dip in Dell to buy. I like that stock.
All right. 9 o'clock, Spencer. The only thing I want to add here, and I'm going to drop a link in here in both chats, as I mentioned, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, I'm helping Jeremy Newsom celebrate Kids Month. And I put together a presentation. I would say probably third or fourth graders up to maybe, might be even good for seventh or eighth graders. There's a registration. If you guys know any, have young kids or have any young kids, friends, families, relatives, put it in there. You know, it's getting harder and harder to get into college since you have to pay so much money for admissions. Might as well start teaching your kids about the market. So there it is. And Spencer, I'll let you wrap things up and preview Monday's show.
For Monday, get your video game questions ready. We're going to be joined by Michael Pachter, senior equities analyst at Wedbush. He will join us at 8:35. So get your questions ready on EA and Take-Two and Glue and Activision. He also covers Netflix. And so get those Fortnite, Apex Legends questions ready for Monday's show. As far as today's show, if you missed any part of it, you want to hear it again, catch our podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, or just rewatch the show on Benzinga's YouTube channel. Thank you to our guest today, Fari Hamzi. Thanks to all of you in our chat rooms, both on YouTube and premarket.benzinga.com. That secondary chat premarket is going all day. So once the YouTube chat ends, the premarket.benzinga.com chat is going throughout the day. So you can check that out if you haven't already. And, that's pretty much it. Please remember that everything we say on this show is for informational purposes only, not meant to be investing advice. Hope everyone has a good weekend. And I guess that's it. So we'll see you on Monday.